Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Casthetic. I am your host, Keaton Buse. I got a treat for you guys. Like, this is one of my all-time favorite bands. You guys, if you don't know them yet, you're about to fall in love with them and their gorgeous, buttery harmonies. Like, slather that on a biscuit. So here it is, Cabin Creek, with their title track off of their new album, Station Wagon.
Station wagon, a high and lonesome sound, running after memories and chasing what could be. But if you find it all out there, what's that made me? Well, I still
That was Station Wagon by Cabin Creek. Now, let's get to know these guys just a little bit. They're just going to introduce themselves, but then I got a whole bunch of questions for them. So why don't we go around, introduce yourselves, let them know your voice.
Cool, we'll start with me. My name is Blaine. I play percussion and piano in Cabin Creek.
I'm Eric. I play bass.
I'm Travis. I play guitar and sing harmony.
I'm David. I sing and play banjo and mandolin, a little guitar sometimes.
Well, I play harmonica and melodica too.
That's true. You do.
He sure does.
Anyone else got anything else they play?
I don't think
got
so.
Got some theremin in there?
Nah.
Some synth?
No. Usually we stay away from anything that ends with a sizer.
Anything that plugs in? All right,
Blaine,
so...
You dirty dog.
Let's talk a bit about this album that just came out of came from you guys, Station Wagon. Now, Mark, who you recorded with, told me it was a very efficient recording session.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
He was lying to you.
Yeah, big time.
You guys were nothing but business. So how much planning went on ahead of time before coming into the studio on how you were going to tackle this album?
A lot of planning went into it. I mean, everything was written before we came in. Which is something that we always do. Of course, we booked out a lot of, you know, in advance, and then we actually thought we finished recording the record in like July. No, in May.
In May.
We thought we finished recording the record in May, and then we came back actually instead. It was actually about to be mixed, and then we came back in the studio and did two more sessions, I think, we didn't end up finishing it until about August. Or something like that, beginning of August. So it was efficient, I guess, when we were in here, but we did come back. We weren't done when we thought, which we are very grateful that Mark was willing to do that, you know, bring us back in, let us kind of scratch a lot of the stuff that we already recorded. So, yeah, I mean, it was efficient, but we also did take our time and kind of go over everything with a fine-tooth comb as well, you know.
Oh, it sounds like it from what I have heard off the album. So far, you guys created such a work of art. It's incredible.
Thank you.
Like, I'll talk about one of the songs you guys played here today later, how gorgeous that one is. Oh, I can't wait
for you
guys to hear it. Oh, I do.
It's my favorite. I know which one you're talking about.
Now, the music video you guys had for Station Wagon, I'm kind of curious, what distillery was that? You guys were playing
Bowman
in. I saw
Distillery
the barrels.
In Fredericksburg? Have you been?
No, I have not.
It's awesome. You walk in there and it smells glorious. It smells like bourbon. It smells really good.
It's actually overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get into that barrel housing room, yeah.
Oof. Kind of makes you dizzy.
Yeah.
The people at Bowman are really cool to us because they're, you know, they're in our hometown. And a lot of the cool thing about Fredericksburg is a lot of the local businesses like to support other local businesses and local artists. And they were really kind to us and opened really early in the morning that day before anybody was in there and actually let us into one of the back rooms that nobody is ever allowed into. So no one's ever seen that room before.
VIP access.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
Something like that. So that was cool. They're always cool to us. A. Smith Bowman. They actually won World's Best Bourbon this year.
They did.
For their small batch bourbon. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I'm going to have to check them out.
Yeah.
Same with all you people listening. Who directed the music video? Who came up with the idea for it?
I guess I did, sort of. It was a pretty simple idea. Basically just to have, you know, cool angles, some good playing shots, just some simple shots, really. We didn't really want to go into a storyline and make it cheesy or get too ahead of ourselves and end up with a video that didn't really, capture the band. You know, our band is a band that's always been about being organic and being true to ourselves, and, you know, doing a big production would have just not been Cabin Creek. So my idea was basically just to keep it simple, and I came to Ryan Poe, who is the guy who shot the video for us, and he had a lot to do with the ideas as well. He's actually based out of Fredericksburg as well, so we keeping it local, but he's a great dude. He does really good work. He's done a lot of local artists. He does a lot of short films and stuff. And he did it for a great price. He hooked us up, and he really was into the band. So he was excited, and it's always nice to work with somebody who's excited to work with you. It always turns out a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Also, you guys just won a songwriting competition, I believe, up in Massachusetts, or you placed?
Technically, yeah. It wasn't songwriting. It was it's a festival up there called Fresh Grass, and they have a bunch of different categories. They had banjo and fiddle and duo and then full band. So we were entered into the full band, and out of what they called either maybe not the best five best, but the I guess their five favorite full folk bands in the country, we placed third. So I feel pretty good about that, and I think we all do. It was a great time. We had a bunch of shows lined up and then drove overnight from Northern Virginia to Western Massachusetts and then played, placed, and drove home. But it was a fun time, man. It was a great festival.
Yeah, we all feel pretty great about it because as soon as the performance was over, we were pretty sure we got fifth place. they asked for two songs. They asked for a traditional song and then an original song. And we, you know, traditionals, we do a few of them, but that's just not really our thing. We're a songwriting band. So the sound on the stage there was, you know, for lack of better terms, completely horrible, and which every band there had to deal with that. You know, it's not like it was just for us, but we kind of got off time with the traditional song, and we butchered it, and somehow miraculously they announced us at third place, which was insane because there was some bands there with some pretty good musicians, and it turns out that the songwriting bands, the ones who wrote the, you know, best most heartfelt songs, actually were the ones who all placed top three. So it was pretty cool.
That's cool. Wow. Yeah, we had people come up to us after, you know, the ranking was announced. You know, this guy came up and was like, "Hey, you guys, like, I just want to say your original song, The Pain, that you guys played, like, was really heartfelt, you know, beautiful song. It was great, you know." We're just like, "Cool, excellent. That's great. Thank you. And yeah, thank God we played that song because that, like Travis said, that first song was freaking disaster.
Yeah, we actually managed to beat a bluegrass band from Berkeley.
Yeah,
like they all went to Berkeley.
Oh wow. So
they were shredding. They were incredible.
Yeah, they were awesome.
They were great.
They were
but,
amazing musicians. Yeah. But we're pretty flattered that we finished above them. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
What?
Victory. You guys ready? It's time for the segment Five Questions. Worst gig you guys ever had?
Sweet Caroline's.
Yeah, the first one.
Well, I don't know.
Sweet Caroline's is up there. I agree with that one.
Yeah.
That was the first show we ever played plugged in. But I got to say, more recently, that Prince William County Bluegrass Festival was atrocious. I mean, you know, respect to, you know, the people running it, but... you know, that sound guy that was there was just totally in another world, just clueless. It had to be some of the worst sound that we've ever encountered. And to me, that might have been, that might be the worst. I don't know. Sweet Caroline's was pretty bad, though.
Yeah.
Sweet Caroline's was pretty discouraging. But that was years ago.
Yeah.
It's always frustrating when, you know, you play a show and, you know, the sound guy doesn't really know what he's doing. It's tough, but yeah. You know, you gotta stick through it.
Especially when you've been doing it for 10 years, perfecting, you know, your craft, and then you sound horrible live because some guy makes you just sound like crap. It's really discouraging.
Yeah, there's so much feedback and popping in the speakers, and just like a bunch of random loud noises.
It was nuts. It was wild.
Somebody kept getting a phone call, and it was like going through the speakers. You know, like the cell phone signal.
Yeah. I thought there was protection against that. Now
he didn't have the protection.
His soundboard is from like 1935. So
man,
I don't know.
You gotta get that speaker protection against those phones. All right. So since you guys are mainly acoustic band, I imagine you don't have too many amps going up in flames or pyrotechnics not working. Lots of fire-related injuries. So
not too many.
What has been your guys' worst equipment malfunction during a performance?
Ooh, that's you want to answer one. That one, big boy?
that's your question.
Yeah, right. Well, I guess it's only my.
We've all had malfunctions.
Yeah. No, my amp likes the feedback a lot.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Warrington.
Oh, yeah, Warrington. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Local show.
We were playing a show in Warrington. I guess it was towards the beginning of the summer or something.
It was this year, yeah.
Yeah. And my bridge on my bass just decided to collapse. And like in the middle like of our second song, and we were supposed to play like a 3-hour set. And yeah, the bridge just collapsed on my bass and, you know, popped off. My strings were just dangling, and
that had to be the single loudest noise in the middle of a set that I've ever heard. Not only because it was just loud, but because it was one of those things where it's like you weren't expecting it to happen, and it's something you would never expect. And when something like that happens, it's just amplified. And it was so loud. And it was funny because he continued to try to play like 3 more notes, and the strings were just hanging, and he just looked at me as he's trying to pluck these strings that are just dangling. It was
It one of those looks of, oh, I hope no one noticed?
He looks so
dead. He looked at me like, basically like, what do I do? And I was just like, I have no idea. What do we do?
We tried to take it outside and fix it a couple times, and
it kept collapsing.
It collapsed like 2 more times, and then they just kind of finished the show without me. So.
Which was a pretty big bummer.
Yeah.
Man, sucked.
The dirtiest or scariest place you guys have stayed during a tour?
Well, this wouldn't apply to this band, but I got one. Eric was with me. It was, I think, to me, we were in a band previously a few years ago that we did a lot of touring, and we were on tour in Canada. And I don't remember what town we were in, but
I think it was... it was like Toronto or something like that.
Maybe.
Some place outside of Toronto.
And this guy was nice enough to let us... It was in Toronto, because we were asking around the show for someone to let us stay at their house, which, looking back, might have been a bad idea. And this guy said, yeah, you guys can come stay at my house. So we go to his house, and we just need to get some sleep because we got to get up and drive early in the morning to the next town. And he lets us stay in this room in his basement. It's a concrete... The walls are concrete, and it has old, dirty carpet on the floor. And it's just a square room that's empty. And he just shuts the door and like turns the lights out. We're just like, meanwhile, him and his friends are like in the other room, you know, doing drugs and being loud. And like, and we're just trying to sleep. And we're just sleeping in this like dungeon room. We have no idea who this guy is.
And he turned the lights off from the outside of the room?
I think the light switch was on the outside of the room.
Because it was either that or it was one of like the lights like that like hang from the ceiling and you kind of pull the thing. Yeah,
it was bizarre. It was really bizarre. That was scary and dirty. That's it was terrible. Very dirty in there.
It reeked of like mildew, and it was disgusting.
We were just laying on the floor in our sleeping bags, like, how did we get here?
Once you hear the deadbolt go,
gotta
break a door.
Yeah, but as far as touring experience with us so far, we've been pretty lucky as far as not encountering anything too dirty yet. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, we haven't done. I mean, Cabin Creek hasn't done a real. Any real block of touring, you know, we've done a few like, you know, small strings of shows and stuff, but you know, that's sort of a conscious part decision on our part as well. You know, touring's just not as important as it used to be, and so we're trying to be more strategic with our band. So we just haven't encountered anything as far as being out on the road, you know, for real, thankfully.
Yet, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Record.
Because it gets weird out there. Let me tell you, when you're living on the road off $5 a day, it gets very weird.
All right. The next question is, what's the closest you've come to quitting music?
I think about quitting every single week. I think David and I were actually talking about this earlier. It's, you know, it's one of those things, being in a band. It's great and it's so fulfilling, and we wouldn't still be doing this if it wasn't what we wanted to do and if it wasn't, you know, what we felt was truly meant for us.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
But it's just, it's so much work with such little, you know, monetary return, which isn't everything, but when you're trying to live in this type of society that we live in, it makes everything 1,000 times harder, you know, not being able to make enough money to live. It's so much work, and you get almost nothing out of it. But then when you play those great shows, and it's like the crowd is so into it, and you're having so much fun, and people are singing along, and, you know, everybody wants your, you know, autographs and stuff like that, even though you're, you feel like you're nobody. That makes it all worth it. But all those in between times, though, it's tough, man. It's self doubt is very severe. It's one of those things. Who knows how long you do it for? But for the time being, I mean, it's, you know, what we're putting a lot of our money and our time and effort into. Yeah. So
the best memory you guys have together as a band.
I don't know if we have any.
I don't really like these guys that much. So.
I don't know.
Too many good memories.
I think I said that in the last interview we did. I'm pretty sure I said I hate everyone.
Well, that's a tough one. Now, like
the beach trip.
The beach trips are fun. I think for me, the coolest one. I try not to judge feelings too much. Like, okay, if you can remember it, it's usually like okay, but if you if it just kind of like you blank and it just like is overwhelming and you're like in the mood or whatever you want to call it, it's like usually the best. And that's like how I feel about shows. Like if I remember it when I get off stage, I usually screwed up, but if I don't remember it, it was awesome. So the only other time like that was actually when we just played Fresh Grass.
That was fun. Yeah.
And we were all just hanging out. And we're like, you know, there's five contestants and they're...
That was a good memory.
I'm picturing them saying, seventh place goes to, you know. And out of nowhere, man, it was hilarious because the guy's like... And they only announced first through third. I guess they didn't want to make...
They announced it on stage in front of everybody, too, before...
Right before...
Roseanne Cash.
Yeah.
And Ricky Skaggs was about to go on after that. So there was quite a few people out there. And the guy is like, you know, mind you, we're in North Adams, Massachusetts, a little ways from home. And the guy's like, third place goes to from Frederick. I'm sorry.
And my first thought, let me just say right there, when he said third place to Frederick, oh, I'm sorry. My first thought was, is this guy seriously like Steve Harveying us right now?
You just
like, did he just
us.
Like mess up and start to say the wrong band? And then like he's going to say someone else?
Just to pour salt in the wound.
Yeah. And then please continue.
And then he's Frederick, I'm sorry. Yes, Fredericksburg, Virginia, Cabin Creek.
And we just...
And it was one of those things, like, the back of your neck goes numb, and you're just kind of like, huh?
We, like, looked at each other like, is this real?
Yeah, what's happening?
All the bands that we were competing with were all, like, around us, all excited, like, patting us on the back, and we're just standing there like, we don't know what to think. Like, we were so convinced that we got sixth place that...
out of five bands.
Like, yeah. We almost didn't stay. We were just so bummed, like, for the time that we had to wait the couple hours, we were just like stealing Sour Patch Kids from the green room, which I don't think were even ours, and drinking
for
beer.
Roseanne Cash.
Yeah, I don't know who they were for, but I was stealing them because it was a big bag. And we were just drinking beer and just so down. Yeah. We were like, man, we blew that. Like, we drove all the way here and we just blew that, you know? And then they just said our name on stage and we were just in shock. Like, what?
It worked out, man.
How is that even possible?
It was funny, like, every other band that was announced was, like, celebrating. Like, oh my gosh, like, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, everyone was just, like, super stoked and we were just in shock. Like, we didn't even, like, celebrate at all. We just stood there and we were like, are you serious?
Is this even real?
But that was one of those overwhelming moments.
Yeah, that was
moments.
A great memory because that was such a long drive and such a long weekend because we played from Bristol, Tennessee to North Adams, Massachusetts that weekend and it was just so much driving and work and... $50+ in tolls, and it was just like, we got there, we thought we totally blew it, you know, it was the last show of the weekend, and then the Boom. Dude on stage just like in front of everybody announces us, and it's just like, wow, you know, I can't believe we just won.
So let's move on some music. The next song is called Good to Drive. Did you guys have anything you wanted to comment on about this song?
This song's pretty cool because when we wrote it, you know, when we first wrote it, we had no idea what the chorus meant. It's one of those songs, like sometimes you write songs and you write the lyrics before you know what they mean to you, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those songs where, you know, we wrote the chorus and originally I don't think we had any idea what it meant. Like Davey and I, we put the lyrics together for the chorus and it just worked and it made sense, but we didn't know. And then, you know, now it makes a lot more sense, but I'm not going to say what I think it means. I, like, you know, want people to make their own interpretations.
Nice. It was one of those 15-minute songs, man. We had the chords, we had a couple words, we threw it all together, and within 15 minutes at one practice, we had the general synopsis of the song, and it was pretty much ready to go.
So here it is for you listening. It's Good to Drive by Cabin Creek.
Well, I've heard all the stories you tell, and I've located the places you'll be. Now I look for a word I can spell to describe this feeling in me. But I would welcome you into my home. I would offer you coffee or tea. Though, well, no matter how I could try, you never could appreciate me. So I rack my brain till it hurts, and I write down all that I hear. Now I do my best to get along and maybe make it through this year. But the show must begin as the crowd shuffles in, so I recite every word. Then I take all your sorrow and sin, if it means my song would be heard. I don't care, I don't mind. Am I good to drive when it's only a matter of time? Well, I've heard all the stories you tell, and I've located the places you'll be.
Welcome back. That song was Good to Drive by Cabin Creek. And now it's time to, you know, promote some shit. So get out your pen and paper, because you got to write these web addresses down, or your AOL keywords, or these dates. So I know you guys have a really sweet gig coming up for New Year's Eve, I believe, with Seldom Scene.
That's right.
At the Birchmere.
Yep. In Alexandria, Virginia. That's right.
How'd you manage to score that?
This is a great story, actually. It won't take too long, but we actually played a wedding for a guy who saw us playing on the street one day in Fredericksburg. This had to be like 2.5 years ago. David and I were playing on the street busking, and he walked by and said, "Man, you guys are great. I'm not from around here, just down here visiting." He had a t-shirt company, and he wanted to print us some t-shirts, so we got in touch with him. Never happened. We didn't really make it happen. Then like a year and a half later, he got in touch with us and was like, "Hey, I want you guys to play my wedding. I remember this song you guys played," and it was a song that we had been playing at the time called "Nights," and it's on our first record. And so we went and played his wedding, and he actually paid us in t-shirts. So that was cool. So we got, you know, our first t-shirts made by him to play his wedding. So we're actually playing his wedding, and turns out the guy that like books all the shows at the Birchmere is at his wedding. And so we start talking to him, and he heard us play. And we made pretty good connection with him, but we didn't hear anything from him for a while again. And then just like randomly in like sometime in June or July of this year, he just emailed us and was like, hey, are you guys available to play the Birchmere on New Year's Eve opening for the Seldom Scene? We were like, yeah, we're open. Let me check my schedule. Yeah. So it just kind of, you know, it happened through a random wedding that we played. We just happened to meet him. And, you know, 2.5 years later, we know it worked out. So yeah,
this band's full of that, man. That's like us meeting Mark and recording all these records was actually through you.
Yeah, through the first interview we did with you.
Podcast we did.
We met Mark, and we've made 2 records with him now. So
2 amazing records. All right, don't sell yourself short. Like that EP is incredible. All the songs I've heard off the new album have been amazing. Amazing.
Well, you'll be leaving with a copy. So
what's your favorite song?
You can hear the ones that you haven't heard, and then you can get back to us. Let us know how you feel.
Oh, I'll get back to you. Don't worry.
What's your favorite song, man? Currently.
Currently, it's the next song coming up, which I'll get to right after I promote some shit.
Okay. Sorry,
but now, where can people get this album? Where can they get hard copies or digital copies?
Can buy it on iTunes. You can go to our website, cabincreekband.com.
That's actually the preferred method because
we get
all the money from that. So
yeah.
I mean, if you want to buy it on iTunes, please do. Like, don't feel like you shouldn't, but if you can, just buy it from our website.
But if you have Spotify and you don't want to buy the album, then you can stream it on there. We've got all 3 of our albums on Spotify, so
that's right.
I'm a pretty big fan of Spotify.
Me too. That's like the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. I know Taylor Swift's not you know, cool with it, and neither is like the Beatles and U2 or something.
But they're cool with it now.
It's great, man. Whatever. Spotify's awesome. If you have if you don't pay for Spotify, you're so far behind. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so far behind.
Yeah, you got to pay for it.
Me
literally.
Too. Me too.
Reach into that wallet of mine.
It's only 10 bucks a month. It's totally worth it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but everything's only 10 bucks a month,
I know, right?
And it adds up.
Netflix is now 10 bucks a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Netflix doesn't have anything. See, the difference between Spotify is Spotify has every album. So it's like, you can
except
like
Taylor Swift's.
Yeah, which who wants to listen to that? I mean, yeah. Anyway, so yeah. But, you know, we have a Facebook. We have Instagram, at Cabin Creek the Band. Because our name is not Cabin Creek Band, it's Cabin Creek. That gets confused a lot. People are constantly putting Cabin Creek Band on flyers, and it's like the weirdest thing ever because we never tell anybody our name is Cabin Creek Band. You know, that's just a URL or a tag, you know, and it's like, so I changed the Instagram to at Cabin Creek The Band. So hopefully,
hope that helps.
Hopefully that helps.
Clears up any confusion.
The other day, someone called us Cabin Hill, right?
Yeah.
That was the same exact
We've
show.
We've gotten Cabin Fever.
Any other bodies of water like
Cabin Hill
Lagoon,
Boys.
Cabin Brook?
No, luckily not.
But yeah, cabincreekband.com.
All right. So go cabincreekband.com, buy the album, then stream it on a constant loop on Spotify.
Yeah, and check out the music video. We put it out for Station Wagon. Share it, you know, tell people about it. Post it on your Facebook. Help us out. That'd be great.
And Taylor Swift, if you're listening,
we don't want to tour with you.
What?
We don't want to tour with you.
Really?
We want a tour with Ryan Adams, who wrote most of your new record.
Cool. I don't think she really cares.
I don't think that. Yeah, she probably doesn't.
All right, well, I got a couple things going on in the area to tell you guys about. First off, open mics. I can't express the importance of them enough. They're the foundation of live music, because that's where a lot of people decide to finally leave their bedroom recording their songs on their laptop and try it in front of an audience. So go to them, support your local open mic if you can. A couple open mics I love to go to are every Tuesday night at Philadelphia Tavern in Old Town Manassas. Lovely open mic, $5 burgers, so if you're hungry, there's an incentive. Another great open mic is in Fairfax at Epicure Cafe every Thursday night. Great group of people, great bands have come out of there. I highly recommend going. Now, a couple shows going on. Somnia, Amanda X, and DiCaprio are playing at Songbird on the 25th of October. And then at Fat Tuesdays in Warrenton on November 5th, the incredible, the talented, the dynamic band. I was trying to count people in it, but I've lost count. I'm not good with numbers. The Daycare Swindlers are playing with the Pie Tasters and Risk Ray. That's going to be an awesome time. That's actually all the shows I got for you guys.
And November 5th, also at Old Busthead, is Cabin Creek.
Hot shit.
If you feel like just going to a brewery and drinking before the Daycare Swindlers show, come on out to Old Busthead Brewery, one of the best breweries in the state.
Oh, yeah. So pregame with Cabin Creek at Old Busthead, getting nice and toasty.
Drive to Fat Tuesdays.
Or Uber, which, I don't know. You could bike, probably.
Blast Good to Drive while you do it.
Yeah. It'll keep you awake.
Big thank you to Mark Ryder and Ken Barnum for recording and mixing and making us all feel safe in the world. And another big thank you to Eric Messick for guest engineering with us today. Wonderful job, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Eric's a fun young
man. Killed it.
Really big thank you to Bias Studios for hosting us, having us, and being the environment where Station Wagon was recorded.
Yeah, right here in this room.
Be sure to check out Instagram, Facebook, Cassathetic Instagram, Cassathetic Facebook to, you know, see cool videos of the people we have in the studio and pictures, and sometimes I say funny things. It happens. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please
save it.
Or send them to castathetic at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show. If you want any links that you've heard from any of the bands here, I'll be more than happy to send them to you. Be sure to follow Mark and Ken on Instagram and Twitter, at Mark Ryder Music, at Ken Barnum. They're always posting stuff about projects they're working on, and they always sound so good. We got one last song for you guys, and I want to say something about this song. So, a few weeks ago, Mark let me have a little sneak peek before your album came out.
Wait a second. He did?
Yeah, he
did. Nobody was supposed to hear
that's
that.
That's against contract.
Yeah, well, you know.
Just kidding.
Album's already made. So, he let me have a little sneak peek of this song, The Pain. And I'm not a man that expresses a lot of tender emotions. And I did not just have that one manly, glittering Indian commercial tear. I was starting to get very moist, hurricane moist in my eyes.
Moist.
From this song, The Pain.
So this song made you tear up.
It did.
Yeah.
It really did.
It's a good one, man.
And
it's a great song.
I want to know more about it. I want to know how this song was written.
That's a great question, actually.
It is.
It's this song
went through a couple phases.
Yeah, I'm not going to dig too deep into it, but it was written as a slow song, and we actually played it and had demos of it before we recorded and released the EP Goodbye Home. So this song has been relevant. It's been in all of our heads, and I think that is also what makes us play this song so well. And in my opinion, I mean, if other people don't like it, keep it to yourself. But, you know, it's one of those songs, it's really engraved in our brains. You know, it's in the back of our heads, and we can play it what I like to call flawlessly to us. You know, it's just, it's part of us now. But, yeah, a little synopsis. It says nothing to do with you and being moist, Keaton. But a lot of the basis came from a female who cried a lot. That's why I said it wasn't about you, Keaton. And yeah, it's one of those things. You see a lot of folks out there that just are upset, and it sucks because it's a very relevant thing in this day and age. You see a lot of people that kind of create problems, you know, or they have real ones and they don't express them, and you just see it, you know, in their face, and it's wicked. And And it's weird. And we were able to make a beautiful song out of that. So in a way, it's more uplifting than its ancestor of the song, which was pretty dark and slow. The new upbeat really made it nice and uplifting, even though it's got a dark undertone to it.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Unlike Good to Dry, which was a 15-minute song, this song actually took us like about a year and a half to finalize. So, yeah, like you said, it started out as a really slow song, and then now it's turned into what it is, and it's pretty awesome. Cool. It's got a really weird vibe to it, in my opinion. Being that it's so upbeat but so dark,
it's pretty cool.
Gives you a really a different feel that you don't get a lot in a lot of music.
I'm so happy to show you, my listeners, this song, because this is the song right now for me, and hopefully for you. So I'm Keaton Buse. This was Cabin Creek, and here's their final song for the show, "The Pain."
Sunny day in summertime is just fine, usually. We walk a mile away just for the day to day and the brighter thing. About the pain, she feels it every day when the sunrise sinks. With a ground give way, with a night move, I will it hold you the same. Sunrise sinks.